My name is David Fortune. I'm the pastor here at Crossroads, and glad that you're with us this morning. Do you have your new baby with you back there? We have a little baby that was born on Thursday? Friday, yeah. And, of course, you bring your baby on Sunday to church. So you don't have to pick him up. So little baby boy, his name again? Benaiah. So third child for Yosef and Tanya. Congratulations. And so we were in the Rhine swim, and Tanya did the Rhine swim on Tuesday, which, you know, is down the river, and then gives birth on Friday, and she's here on Sunday. So expectations are high, ladies, for how you have kids. Way to go. Exciting to have. I feel your pain, traffic ticket on the way to church. My wife got four traffic tickets, like 4 weeks in a row, like same spot, until we discovered the camera was always in the same place. So now we avoid that one. The first 2 years, we just had a line in our budget that was for traffic fines. So, just one other thing I'll mention, the insert in your bulletin, and I talked last week about our need for volunteers, and we still just, if you didn't sign that and you put it in the offering plate or leave it at the desk in the foyer, if you can help in area of hospitality or teaching Sunday school, working with children, working in the creche, sound and beamer and so on, we're just looking for people this fall season as we gear up to give a hand with that. And if you want more information, just say, I'm interested, but need to talk with somebody, and put down your contact information and we'll be in touch with you. Over the next few weeks, I want to continue sort of unpacking a little bit about what it is we're trying to do as a church family and where it is that we're trying to go. And you're familiar with our sort of taglines, Direction for Life and Friends for the Journey. And I want to fill that out a little bit more as we think about what does that mean for us as we grow as Christians? What does that mean as mature believers? And we've been thinking about if somebody's just here for a couple of years, what do we want to pour into their life? What do we want to see happen? And how do we want to see transformation in the lives of people? What is it that we hope people will be able to take away from their time here? And what does that look like as we think about being mature believers in Jesus Christ? And obviously, for me, we want this to be a place where people can come to faith in Jesus, where they can come to know Jesus. And so this morning, it's just entitled, It All Starts With Jesus. It starts with Jesus. It starts with our relationship with Jesus. Our life, eternal, our direction for life begins with Jesus and having a relationship with him. We want to share direction for life. We want to have friends for the journey. And journey is kind of this metaphor for our life, our time here on earth. We're using that. Yesterday morning, we did some training with small group leaders, home group leaders, and I was talking a bit about this, and I said, the image in my mind when I think about a crossroads is, going back 100, 200 years where people used to travel by horse and carriage, and journeys were a long way away, and you'd load up, and you would come to a crossroads of some time, and there would be an inn there, and you would stop, and you would have something to eat, and you would get refreshments, and you would say, hey, we're going to go to this city or town, which one of these roads do we have to take, and what's it like, and do we have to watch out for anything, and is anybody else going that way because it's safer to travel in groups together and pass the time better if you're traveling together, and so you would keep moving on, and that's, for whatever reason, the image I have sometimes of coming to a crossroads and getting direction for life and refueling and then, you know, moving on with people that are going in a similar way and direction. And maybe that just means every Sunday you come back to the same place and you get refueled and you get energized and you get direction for the week and off we go on the journey again. And we find ourselves coming back here Sunday after Sunday. We're on a journey. We're passing through life, and for many, as we first started kind of working this theme out, we were thinking about the international component of our church and how many people might just come for 2 or 3 years here to Basel and then move on again. And during that period of time, we want you to have connection and relationship and friendship here in Basel. But maybe your journey is, stage of life. You just have a newborn, you're a young parent, and you're struggling to learn what that's like. And isn't it great to have other people that are going through the same stage of life as you? Maybe you have teenage children, and that's particularly challenging. And you want to find other people that are on that same journey. Maybe there's recovery issues in your life, and there's been brokenness in the past, and you're seeking healing and learning how to move forward in a certain way. And it's great to have people around you that know what that journey is like. And so there's so many different ways that we can apply journey for life and how that it can impact us. And when we talk about direction for life, what we're talking about is our relationship with God. And that really to have direction in life needs to be connected with God and His Word and the Spirit's work within us. That we really, while we have some destinations in mind, we really many times don't know how to get there. We don't really know how to live out some of the things that are happening to us in life. Where do we get direction? Where do we get information? Where do we get our source of strength? And then friends for the journey, that relationship with other people. And those two things mix together. If I was to pick a couple Bible verses, then I would pick this from Matthew 22, where somebody said to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's about loving God and about loving our neighbor. The Bible's pretty clear that we can't love God and hate our brother. Voltaire said, people are hell. And sometimes, people think, oh, it's too difficult. This is too much of a challenging relationship. I don't want anything to do with people. I just want to worship God over here. Then other people are like, God is too, it's too ethereal. I can't always connect. I just want to be with people. I just want this relationship over here. I'm going to try and work out this on my own. But the scripture teaches us it's bringing those two things together. It's in our relationship with God and our relationship with others that we are going to live out our life. And as a church, then, we want to help people do that. We want to help people succeed in that, succeed in finding direction from God for their life and what He wants to do in this journey, and finding people that will travel with us, that will be flesh and blood that we can turn to and share life with. And it starts with Jesus. It starts with finding a relationship with Him. And as a church, we know that it would be tragic for us if people came here for a period of time, months or years, and they sat in the services and they sang the songs and worshiped and they helped serve in some area of the church, but they never came to understand and to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the reasons I believe that God has put us here as a congregation is to share the love of Jesus with other people. And if we forget about that, we can turn very internal. And if we get all of our leadership positions and structure sorted out, and we get all the volunteer slots in the church filled, and everything is running like clockwork, but we've forgotten about sharing the love of Jesus and spreading the love of Jesus and the message of what Jesus has come to do, and we're not seeing people come to faith, then we've missed the mark as a church, as a body. Lots of people come to church for different reasons. Some people come because they've always traditionally come. They were raised that way, and they like the format, but never made a commitment to Jesus. They've just never made that step. Other people come to church because they're searching for something. They might believe in God, but they're not sure that He's really there, and they just want to know more, and so they've come to this church or to another church, and they're seeking and they're looking. Others come to church because their families do, maybe a spouse or a parent, and they're not particularly interested in faith, but they like the community and they come along and they've never connected with Jesus in their heart. And so I'm well aware that sometimes we have people that are here and part of our community and part of our church, but they've never taken that step towards being a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I grew up in a farming community. We had a neighbor across the road. She had all of these little sayings, but I remember being at her house one time and she said, "Well, you know, just because the cat has kittens in the oven, that doesn't make them cookies. And just because somebody attends church, that doesn't make them a Christian. Just because we were born into a Christian family or into a Christian community doesn't make us a Christian. The saying is that God has no grandchildren. Each one of us must make a decision. You know, what are we going to do about Jesus? Are we going to follow him? And is he going to be the direction and purpose in our life or not? So just because we're here doesn't mean that we're a follower of Jesus. And I want you to know that what's really valuable to us as a church family and community is that people become followers of Jesus. Not only are there people in the church that may not have come to a full commitment to Jesus, but there are people outside the church. We live here now in a very post-Christian society, in a very secular society that shoves faith to the margins. And yet people continue to ask, well, what is the real meaning of life? And what's the purpose of it all? We've gained so many material goods, but we feel empty on the inside. We don't know what the purpose is. Is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? And so I think that we also as a church family have responsibility to be working with our friends and neighbors outside the church walls to let them know the direction in life really starts with a relationship with Jesus. And that until we come to know him in that way, we haven't really started on the path to eternal life. So I want to look at what the Bible says this morning about that relationship with Jesus and the importance of it and the journey that we're on. Because the Bible uses this idea of a journey throughout Scripture. It talks about different paths that we can find. And so the Bible lays out two paths, life and death. Sometimes called good and evil, sometimes called righteous and unrighteous. A lot of people will tell you, you know, I think there's many paths to God. I think that I can find my own path. I think that other religions find their path to God. I think that God is just out there and it's like Rome. All roads lead to Rome. So, you know, you can get there from anywhere. And you just need to find a path that's right for you. And there are many ways to relationship with God. That tends to be a thought that many people have. But that's not the witness of the Bible. It's not what Scripture tells us. And so from our Christian perspective, we would have to say, well, what the Bible tells us is there's really only two paths. There's a path that leads to life, and that eternal life with God and relationship with God, and there's a path that leads to death, that is separation from God and life without God. And wherever we might be, we have to recognize that there's some objective reality to what the Word of God says. There are just two paths. Proverbs chapter 4. Beginning at verse 10, says, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I will instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. And when you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction and do not let go. Guard it well, for it's your life. But do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way." So it's this idea that if God leads and guides and instructs us, he will lead us on the straight path, the way of wisdom, the way of life. But he doesn't want us to step onto the path of evildoers or the path of wickedness or the path of evil. That there's just two. And if we're in tune with God, then he will instruct us. He will give us direction for life, for the path of life. And he encourages us to avoid the other path that's going to lead to death. And this is a distinction that we find throughout the Old Testament, even as we read from Psalm 25 this morning about how God will lead our paths and order our steps. There's always this contrast between there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And in order to find our way to God, in order to be in relationship with him, then we must choose the path that he has designated. Jesus used this terminology in his own teaching then in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 7. He says it this way, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So once again, Jesus is saying there's two paths. There's a narrow and a wide one, and one leads to life and one leads to death. And if you want to enter into life, if you want to enter into relationship with God, if you want to live eternally, if you want to know the meaning and purpose of life, then you need to be on the narrow road. The wide one leads to destruction. Of course, many people think that that particular view is narrow. And I acknowledge that it is. But I believe that that's the teaching of Scripture. There's not many paths to God. There's one path that leads to eternal life and relationship with him, and all other paths are the path that lead away from him, that lead to ourself, that lead to sin and death, and all of the problems that we see in the world. Life is relationship with God. Death is being away from God. But God created us to be with him. God wants us to be with him. And so he is telling us about our state and about the path that we're on. And so the Bible lays out these two paths and then goes on to tell us that we all start on the wrong path. This is the bad news. We might feel good about ourselves. We might feel like there's nothing wrong with us. We think we're good people, and we think we're helpful people, and we're productive in society, and we certainly don't feel like we have any need for God. But the Bible says objectively that we all get started on the wrong road. Andy Stanley is pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, and is a self-confessed person who is directionally challenged, meaning he gets lost a lot. And he said, there are three things you need to know about people who are directionally challenged. He said, first of all, we don't get lost on purpose. He says, nobody does that. In fact, just the opposite is true. Since we know we're likely to get lost, we work hard at paying attention and following directions, but we just don't do well in unfamiliar territory. The second thing he said that he's learned from getting lost is that I never know exactly when it happens. I never know when I've crossed that line that I know exactly where I am to where now I don't have any idea where I am. I never know the precise moment in which I've made an incorrect turn or taken a wrong route. There's never a moment when a light goes off in my brain and I say, gee, I think I lost it. If I back up 100 feet, I will be unlost. Being lost is something that dawns on me, usually after I've been lost for, well, I don't know how long I've been lost before I realize that I'm lost. And he said, the third thing about getting lost is that the road I'm on always determines where I will end up. Pretty insightful, eh? It doesn't really matter where I intended to be. The path I take determines my ultimate destination. Plans, intentions, spousal expectations, none of that counts. I always end up where the road takes me. We will end up at the destination where that road is heading. And if that road is heading to death and destruction and life away from God and away from the things of God, then that's where we'll end up whether we feel some way about it or not. Whether we feel lost or we need direction from God or anything like that, that's what we're on. And if we take the path towards God, then we wind up with eternal life. And there are people that for many, many years just feel like, I don't even need to worry about the path. What I'm doing is great. There's no sense of like, when did I take a wrong turn or am I on the wrong path? But usually at some point in our life, we begin to evaluate, where am I going? What is the meaning about of life? Am I investing in the things that are right? Am I going to end up at a destination that's fulfilling and meaningful in my life? And that's typically when people begin to search and sort of say, God, where are you and how do I find you? Because the scripture makes it clear that we all start on the wrong path. Isaiah said it this way, we all like sheep have gone astray and each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Like we've all gone off on the wrong path. Just as clearly as the Bible teaches there's two paths, it also teaches that we've all gone on to the wrong one. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the world and the ruler of the kingdom. Like he said, there was a time when you followed, everybody followed the way of the world, and that was the path that you were on. And then he goes on to say how Christ has saved them from that path. He makes it, Paul in Romans chapter 3 puts it this way, we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God, is another way of saying we're on the wrong path. We can't get to God going this way because each and every one of us have begun already separated from God and on the wrong path. And so we cannot find God continuing our own way. And if we continue to head in that direction, then our destination is clear regardless of our intentions or our desires or our thoughts about ourselves. We're going the wrong way. That's the bad news. The good news is that God wants to give us direction. That when we talk about direction for life, it's not that we have to go begging God for that, but rather that God freely has that for us and wants to us to find that. That God has not left us without a witness. That the whole Bible, the coming of Jesus, is all about finding the right direction that God has for us. It's all about finding that relationship with him. The psalmist says in Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your hand. Like, you make known to me the path of life. You're not hiding that from me, God, but you want to show that to me. Psalm 32, I will instruct, this is God now speaking, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. God will give us direction. We don't have to wander on the wrong path. We don't have to be confused about that, but it's God's desire to put us on the path that brings him to him, that our journey would be towards him and our relationship with him. And that's most clearly put when Jesus says in John chapter 14, I'm the way. Actually, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other path except through me, Jesus says. I am the way. It's a powerful statement. The way to a relationship with God is through Jesus alone. Again, the Bible acknowledges no other pathway by which we can get to a relationship with God. It's through Jesus alone. And Jesus is different from many other religious figures in that he's not saying, I will point you towards God. Jesus is not a signpost saying, this is the way, walk in it. He says, I'm the way. I'm the one that, if you find me, you found your way to God. When I was a kid and we went up to Denmark to visit one of my mother's great uncles, and we're in this Danish city and they didn't speak much English and my mother didn't speak any Danish, and she's getting out showing an address to people, pre-GPS days, and nobody was responding, and so finally there was an older lady that had a moped, rather bizarre looking, and so she looked at that and my mother, and then she said, okay, follow me. So she hopped on her moped and off she goes. And we follow her through these streets, and she pulls up in front of the apartment building and points to it, and then she takes off. And that was great. I mean, she showed us the way. But she wasn't the way. I mean, it wasn't that as soon as we met her, we were at our destination. Jesus says, listen, as soon as you meet, I am the way. I'm not just here to point you towards God, but I am. If you've met me, you've met the Father. He and I are one. I mean, it's all about coming to me because I am the way, the truth, and the light. If you know me, then you found the way. You have found God. And so we have to just come to Jesus and ask for his help. The Bible says, you know, we have to acknowledge that we're on the wrong path. We have to acknowledge that we're sinful and that we've been trying to go our own way. And even though we know about God and we know about the Bible and we're trying to be a good person, we're on the wrong path. And there comes a point when we have to say, okay, I want a relationship with God, so I'm coming to you, Jesus. And I'm putting my faith and my trust in you, and I'm asking that you take me to the Father. I'm asking that you come in and you give me direction for my life. And that from now on, I'm living for you, and I'm living in a way that's pleasing to God. And because I'm in connection with you, then I know I'm going to be going the right direction in my life. We have to admit that we're on the wrong path, and we have to ask Jesus to come and accept him as the way to the Father. And when we do that, when we become committed followers of Jesus, I realized this week as I was going through that we become people of the way. It wasn't until Acts chapter 11 in the city of Antioch that followers of Jesus were called Christians. That was the first time we were called Christians. Now we refer to ourselves as Christians. Until that point, they were people of the way. And so Paul, who was Saul, was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest and he asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners. That's how they referred to followers of Jesus. That's how they referred to the disciples. Two more times in the book of Acts, as Paul is recounting this, he said, I persecuted the people of the way. Isn't that interesting that we're called people of the way? That it's all about the way in which we're going and the direction that our life is taking and who we're following. And when we're following the one who said, I am the way, then we become people of the way. Our direction for life is set in knowing our relationship with God, in knowing our relationship with Jesus. It's so important, this image of Jesus as the way, that it refers to us as well. And we refer to ourselves as followers of Jesus. He's now the direction that our life is taking. He's now where we're heading. He's now where we're going. And it all starts with our faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It all starts with acknowledging I'm on the wrong path and I need you, Jesus. And I want to enter into a relationship with you. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. We wrestle with that because it's a surrendering of our will. In all your ways, submit to him. Well, I'd still like to find my own way. I'd still like to find something else. And we explore all of those options, but we've got to come back and agree with God's word at some point if we want to follow Jesus as the way, as we want to know him. It begins by saying, I'm needy and I'm on the wrong path, and Jesus, I need you. And as a church, we want to be sure that people understand that. As a church, we want to be clear about what we're proclaiming about who Jesus is. He is the way to the Father, and no one comes except through Jesus. We want to be clear that everybody's on the wrong path until they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want to be about the business of making sure people know that as a church, and that people, as they come in, will hear the need for Jesus. And maybe you're someone this morning and you would say, well, I've not really had that personal relationship with Jesus. I'm hearing about this, and I'm learning about this, and I've got some questions, and I'm not sure. One of the things I might suggest is that you check out the Alpha program that we're going to start running in September. It's a course about exploring Christianity, exploring Jesus as the way and what that means. It's a place to bring questions because we want to ask those questions and we want to enter in thoughtfully to our relationship with Jesus. It's not something that you can't do without wrestling. Many people have to wrestle. Many of us have questions and there's a place for that. And I would invite you to come and be a part of that on Tuesday evenings because we just honestly believe that so central is Jesus to everything. That's where life starts, and that's where it begins. And maybe you've been here this morning, you say, I've never done that, but I'd like to do that. I'm already convinced that in a minute, as I close in prayer, I would just invite you to pray a simple prayer in the moment of silence, one that just acknowledges, yes, Jesus, I'm on the wrong path this morning, but I want you in my life. I accept you as the way. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Help me put your trust in you. And then today could be the day that life begins for you, that direction for life in terms of eternal things becomes really clear for you. This is where the journey begins. I mean, we might have journeyed in a whole other aspects of our life in terms of our development and marriage and family and career. But eternal life, long-lasting, meaningful life begins when we come into relationship with Jesus. And the good news is that God is always ready to take us, always ready to accept us, always ready to work with us, no matter where we've been, no matter how many wrong turns we've taken, no matter how lost we've gotten at times. He's more than willing to help us find new direction and to find him. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, I just want to thank you for the clarity that comes through Scripture about our state and our need. And I just pray for anyone this morning that hasn't made a commitment to you. And as I pause just quietly, Lord, I would ask you to speak to hearts. And for those of you that are here this morning, I would say this is your opportunity just to pray and let Jesus know that you want a relationship with him this morning. If that's you, just take this next few moments to do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church body be really clear about what it means to be a Christ follower. And that in the years to come, we would see many people come to faith in Jesus. I believe that you've put us here for your purposes to declare the good news to the people that are coming through Basel and living in Basel, wherever they might be journeying, whether it's a short time here or a long time or a lifetime here. Lord, you're interested in them. And help us as a church to declare the message that it's life in Jesus that's important. If there are those this morning that have taken that step, I pray that you would just give them that internal sense of the witness of the Spirit, Lord, that things have changed for them, that they're on a new path and a new direction this morning. And we rejoice with them. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing one more song.